We gather in the Lord's house on this special day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Mark and Bert, for our prelude this morning. Good morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. It is a wet Sunday morning, but that's okay. I'm praying that the rain is gone and the rest of the day will be a day of blessing and a wonderful day of celebration. We're having some preliminary music there. Hey, you never know what might happen. They just want some background music as I did our announcements this morning. Hey, I can get into that. We can do that every Sunday. But anyway, it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is an exciting day. It's great to have Mark Mofield, Reverend Mark Mofield, and Amy back with us this morning. We look forward to how you are going to share God's word and through your sermon and through the word of singing this morning. And we'll be sharing that in just a moment, Amy. So thank you for those that are joining this morning via Facebook Live. If you are watching us this morning, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for today's worship service, but also for things coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time guest with us this morning, thank you for joining us. You can fill out a visitor's card. If you're watching us for the first time online, send us an email this week, and I'll follow up with you this week, and just thank you for joining us and connecting with you, and just a wonderful time of worship this day. I'm also thankful to have Gay with us on the front this morning. So last week we had her at the back, and she was greeting people. Today she's at the front. We're gonna play the game, Where's Gay? So next Sunday, we're going to hide her somewhere else, and you have to find her. But it is a wonderful blessing to have Gay back towards the front with us. She'll be leading from the front today. So when we sing our praise songs, just kind of guide your directions for her. She'll be guiding over there. She will not be standing up, right, Gay? We will not be standing up. We still got a few more weeks for that. You heard Jerry say no. She is in the healing process, but it's good to have her back in worship with us this morning. I do want to remind everybody, immediately following worship today, we are going to have a fellowship lunch upstairs in the fellowship hall. As we continue to carry on and connect with Mark and Amy, everyone's invited. You do not have to RSVP for this lunch. It is just a wonderful time to gather around the table. So join us upstairs immediately following worship for a time of lunch upstairs. And this evening, I do want to remind our adults that we are beginning our Sunday night studies. This evening, I'll be starting our study of the Gospel of Mark. It'll be at 5 o'clock upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. This is a study by Professor and Pastor Amy Jill Levine. It is a six-week study. I encourage you to join me. You can join me in person in the Fellowship Hall, or you can join me on Facebook Live. We will be streaming that study tonight. Our youth will not begin our studies tonight. They'll actually be beginning next Sunday night. So just the adults will be getting started back tonight. Men, today is the last day to sign up for the trip to the D-Day Memorial. That will be leaving tomorrow. If you have not signed up yet, Rob, it's not too late, right?
No, it's not too
late. All right, so make sure you talk to Rob today. You need to know today, right?
Right, we're leaving at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning after the parking lot.
All right, so 8 o'clock tomorrow, leaving from the parking lot. I think we're taking the bus, so make sure you let him know today if you want to go. Should be a great trip tomorrow morning to the D-Day Memorial. Also, a reminder about things coming up this week. Team Hope, our team that's been planning our 75th celebration ministry, will be meeting Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Circle of Friends will be meeting on Wednesday at 1:45 to visit some of our shut-ins. If you want to go and participate and help out with that ministry, meet upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom at 1:45. And a reminder to our choir behind us, but anybody who also wants to sing, the choir will not be meeting this Wednesday night. However, you are singing next Sunday, and you are meeting next Wednesday. So choir, just taking that special note of that. I was told to make sure you knew that those details. Also, for our ministry team leaders, next Sunday we will be having our church council meeting at 4 p.m. So please make sure you're present for that meeting. Gay also wanted me to make sure everybody knew our senior adult luncheon is coming up on Tuesday, September 19th. A lot of you have signed up. If you want to come to that luncheon, please sign up today. They really need to know how many we'll be having so we have enough food for that luncheon. It should be a wonderful time of fellowship around the table. We'll also be having Austin Decker from the Baptist Aging Ministry will be our speaker for that day. So please sign up. If you have friends that want to come and participate with that, they can come as well, but please have them contact the church office tomorrow so we can place their name on the list. Last but not least, we are doing a collection for the month of September for the Alamance Regional Cancer Center food pantry. The items needed for that collection are listed on the back of your bulletin. Many of you have already brought items. Thank you for those donations. We'll be collecting those throughout the month of September. You can bring those and drop them off at the Communication Center, or you also can drop them off upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. So thank you for your donation. Pick some of those items up as you're at the grocery store this week and the coming weeks. I also want to mention one other thing. We had a wonderful time of cookout 2 weekends ago with our college cheer team and many of the college students around our community. One thing we did last year, we're going to continue to do this year, is to support the cheer team at Elon University by providing snacks and items for their home football games. Well, Elon's first home football game is coming up this coming weekend. So if you would like to bring items to assist and help with that, please bring those by this week. We'll be sending out a list of items that are needed. There's also a sign-up sheet, I think, that's been going around of items to sign up for and bring those. If you have not seen that list, please see me. Please see Marie Allison or Debbie Wall. We'll be able to tell you the items that are needed for that. But the first home game is coming up this coming Saturday, and we want to make sure we have those items ready for the cheer squad. I actually said last but not least a couple times, and I'm going to say one other thing. You know, you kind of go through things, you think about things that have happened through the week. We had a wonderful another week with Abundant Life Ministry here at First Baptist. It's just been a blessing to have them upstairs throughout the week. And last week, Steve and Gretchen Glahn, the founders of Abundant Life, they came to me and they said, we want to purchase something for the church, something we think that we see that y'all need, and something that we could put in use while we're here. And I said, okay. And they said, we noticed that there's a couple spaces underneath your shelter that looks like they could use a couple extra picnic tables. If you don't know the story behind it, one of our former youth made five picnic tables years ago as his Eagle Scout project. A couple years back, two of those tables got stolen. We don't know where they ended up, but we had two tables that got stolen. And so we've been down two tables for a year or two now. Well, Steve and Gretchen saw that, and they said, we want to purchase two picnic tables for the church, thanking us for opening our church building up for them. And so they purchased those tables, and they were placed out there this past Friday. So as you leave today, as you pull out of the parking lot, look underneath the shelter as you leave, and you'll see two brand new picnic tables that are sitting under the shelter on behalf of Abundant Life Ministry, just as a thank you for us being great hosts for them. So again, just another way of showing how our community is working together with them as partners in ministry. We gather this morning knowing that Jesus Christ is with us. Let us worship him this day. Amen.
There we go. Good morning. That's okay. It is a joy to be here this morning, especially after such a recent visit that I got to have. When I asked Mark what he wanted me to sing this morning, we started talking about what his sermon topic was going to be, and you see his title, How It Started, How It's Going. And this was one of the first ones that we chose because this is the very first song that I sang here 22 years ago.
Change, plans fail. You look for love on a grander scale. Storms rise, hopes fade, and you place your bets on another day. When the going gets tough, when the ride's too, when you're just not sure enough, Jesus will still be there. His love will never change, sure as the steady rain. Jesus will still be there. When no one else is true, he'll still be loved. Like you've lost it all and you haven't got a prayer, Jesus will still be there. Time flies. From lessons learned, but sometimes weakness wins and you lose your foothold once again. When the going gets tough, when the ride's too rough, when you're just not sure enough, Jesus will still be there. His love will never change, sure as the steady rain. Jesus will still be there. When no one else is true, he'll still be loving you. When it looks like you've lost it all and you haven't got a prayer, Jesus will still be there. Jesus will still be there. His love will never change, sure as the steady rain. Jesus will still be there. No one else is true. He'll still be loving you when it looks like you've lost it all and you haven't got a prayer. Jesus will still be when it looks like you've lost it all and you haven't got a prayer. Jesus will still be there.
Thank you, Amy. This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 149, reading verses 1 through 6a. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths. May the praise of God be in their mouths. It's not just for Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It's for every single day that God blesses us with a day to worship him. May the praise of God be in our mouths. Let us pray this morning. O living God of past and future, we praise you for this present moment. Fill us with your joy and empower us with your Holy Spirit, that our strength may be renewed to sing a new song of your glory in a world which longs for your justice and your peace. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, in whom we become your new creation and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Give thanks.
this morning for our ministry highlight. As I shared earlier in our announcement time, I'm excited about our new adult Bible study that begins this evening at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. The Gospel of Mark, a six-week video study by the Professor of New Testament and Jewish Studies at Hartford International University, Amy Jill Levine, will take us through a quick but in-depth look at the earliest gospel accounts of Jesus Christ. By looking at the key themes and key stories found in John Mark's gospel account, we will see Jesus as divine and human, powerful and weak, approachable yet mysterious. Those who are going to join me in person, all you need to bring is your Bibles. However, if you want to purchase the book by Amy Jill Levine and follow along, tonight we will be covering the introduction and chapter 1 in the book. You can purchase the book at Amazon or Cokesbury, whichever online purchasing source you would like to. They may actually carry it at Barnes & Noble locally as well. If you are unable to attend in person tonight at 5 p.m., again, we'll be streaming the study on Facebook Live. You can watch it tonight at 5 p.m. and join us in person that way, or you can watch it at a later date. But I encourage you to kind of stay up to date as we walk through this study. Again, it will be 6 weeks of this study. We'll be missing a couple weeks coming up for homecoming in October, but we'll be meeting pretty much every Sunday night between now and the middle of October. So I hope you'll join me tonight at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall for session 1 of our study of the Gospel of Mark. Now at this time, I want to call on our Deacon of the Week, Deacon Angie Miller, for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place to worship you. We are grateful and excited that Mark and Amy are here with us today to celebrate and lead us in worship as our 75 years in ministry celebration continues. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you these offerings today. With this, we worship you and give you our whole hearts. Please accept these gifts we place before you and use them for your kingdom and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace that binds my heart to stay. May the truth that opened up my eyes on that first time be the thoughts on my mind that never go away. For you are a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. You're the hand that's holding me, faithful God. Every promise kept, every need you've met, faithful God. May the love that caught my heart to set it free the love that others see in me, and may the hope that reaches to the depths of human need be the song that I sing in joy and suffering. For you are the love that never leaves, the friend that won't deceive. You're the one sure thing, faithful God. Every promise kept, is all because you love faithfully, faithful God. How deep, how wide the love that pierced his side, the love redemption's mine, oh love that will not let me go. How deep the love, how deep the love, redemption's mine, oh love that will not let.
Again, thank you, Amy. I think I made a comment a couple weeks ago after Noah sang that if it was me preaching, I would just say amen and we'd be done. And Mark, I can say that too if you want me to, and we can all go to lunch early if we really wanted to. But I don't think we'll do that today. It is my great honor to once again introduce FBC Elon's sixth senior pastor in our 75-year history, the Reverend Mark Mofield. Mark is the current senior pastor at Melrose Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia, a position he has held since November of 2020. Mark previously served at Melrose as their associate pastor before accepting his call here as senior pastor here at First Baptist. Mark and Amy called FBC Elon home for 12 years from 2001 to 2013 before being called to Temple Baptist Church in Durham as their senior pastor. Amy is a project manager and grants and contracts administrator in the biology and evolutionary anthropology department at Duke University. That is a title. Let me just say that as a mouthful. She began serving in this position after a career as a stay-at-home mom for Justin and Noah, where she carried many different hats for them. Amy has continued to sing, as we have experienced today and been blessed by her musical gifts this morning. Both Mark and Amy are graduates of Richmond University, where they met and then they married in 1995. They have two sons, Justin and Noah, who we were blessed to have with us not too many weeks ago here. Mark is also a graduate of Duke Divinity School. It is good to have both of you back at First Baptist Elon. And on a personal note, I had the great honor of serving beside Mark for 12 years here at First Baptist. He was a mentor, he was a colleague, but most of all, he was and continues to be a dear friend. Welcome back home, Mark.
Good morning. To quote Justin, this feels weird. I have been looking forward to this day for, well, ever since David reached out to me and invited Amy and I to come and be here with you and be a part of this 75th anniversary. And I want to thank you for the honor and the blessing to be here with you today. And I even want to thank you not just for giving me the opportunity to be back here in the pulpit, but to once again be back here with a leak in the roof. I mean, it really does feel like old home week. Amy told me, she said, when we walked in and David was telling us, there's a leak in the roof, I was like, well, I got to tell this story then this morning. Because I can remember when, and like a lot of you, remember, it wasn't just one bucket, was it? 12, 13, right? I still remember I'd been here for about, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, and I was asked to come to a meeting of the property committee. And I walked into the meeting, and they just said, Mark, we need you to come to the property committee meeting. So I went to the property committee meeting, and I walked in the room and sat down, and they said, okay, so tonight we're going to start looking at, we're going to look at the bids we've received to repair the roof. And I raised my hand, and I said, what's wrong with the roof? And they all looked at me, and they said, nobody told you that every time it rains, we have to put out 13 buckets to catch the water that drips into the sanctuary? I said, no, this is the first I've heard of it. And everybody in the room looked at Cecil Crabb. And Cecil was sitting there shaking his head going, we were afraid if we told him he wouldn't come. John, we're not going to let you play with toys anymore, all right? I bring greetings from my entire family. The boys wanted me to say hello this morning. And just, I got to say, thank you so much for inviting them to be a part of the 75th anniversary celebration. It meant so much to them to be able to be back here. And to be back here, not as Mark and Amy's kids, but to be back here as the young men that God has made them to be. So thank you for giving them that opportunity. I also bring greetings from the Reverend Laney Mofield, who I know will be watching this a little later. For those of you, my mom retired from Ronald McDonald House 2 years ago. And in retirement, all she does is pastor a congregation in a retirement community, lead a weekly women's Bible study, and teach at the local community college. That's all she does. But anyway, she expresses her greetings, and it means a lot to her, the time that we shared here. This morning, as we come together, I wanted to focus on a passage from 1 Timothy. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 12 through 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm giving you these instructions, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made earlier about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of the word this day. Would you pray with me? And now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto you. speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. One day, a few years ago, my sister-in-law, Carrie, was talking with a friend of hers who lived in her neighborhood. Somehow, the conversation turned to church, and Carrie mentioned that her brother-in-law was a youth minister. This neighbor that she was talking to, a woman by the name of Kay McCloskey, said that her church was looking for a pastor and was accepting resumes through the end of the week. Kay said to Carrie, if your brother-in-law would be interested in applying, and if he can overnight you his resume, I'll be happy to take it by the church. So Carrie called and said, hey, I was just talking to a neighbor of mine, and I think you need to send a resume. Now, at that time, Amy and I were living up in Roanoke, and we had been kind of searching, feeling like the time had come that God had prepared us for the time to look for a pastoral position. And we had gone online, and we had seen this posting for this church in Elon. And we had looked at it, and we thought, well, it looks kind of interesting, but, you know, Carrie lives there, and you know, our entire marriage, we've always lived somewhere where there's family, and we really think we're ready to live someplace where there's no family already there. And so we had decided we weren't going to send a resume, but now here's Carrie calling and saying, hey, look, I told my neighbor you were going to send a resume, so I need you to send me a resume tonight. Okay, we'll send a resume, put it in the overnight mail. Really didn't think anything more about it. A few weeks later, I get a phone call from Janie Brown, who introduced herself as the chair of the pastor search committee from First Baptist Church of Elon. To this day, I remember the first thing that Janie said in that phone conversation. Well, honestly, you're a little younger than what we're looking for in a pastor. We talked for a little while, and when I hung up the phone, I looked at Amy and I said, well, I doubt we'll hear from them again. But then the phone call led to a meeting at the Western Sizzlin' in Roanoke. That meeting led to another phone call, also from Janie Brown, this time to Larry Sprouse, who was the pastor at Melrose Baptist Church that I worked under. And when Larry hung up the phone from that phone call, he walked into my office and he said, if the woman that I talk to is in any way representative of this church, Mark, not only is this where you are going, this is where you're supposed to go. And sure enough, a few weeks later, there was an invitation to come the week of September 7th through 9th, 2001, to meet and greet and preach a trial sermon. If you'll look at your calendar, 22 years ago this weekend. 22 years ago this Sunday, today, I sat right there where David's sitting right now, waiting for the worship service to begin, wondering what was going to happen, and Cameron McCloskey walked up behind me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, don't worry, I'm going to vote for you. Thankfully, so did a good number of other folks. And thus began an almost 12-year journey, not only into my first pastorate, but into the blessing of finding the family that would be our church family here at First Baptist Elon. You know, the funny thing is, 22 years later, Amy and I still haven't lived anywhere where we don't have family close by. Thank God. But little did we know then the blessing that we would experience here. That was how it started. You know, a lot of you have probably seen those posts on social media, how it started, how it's going. If you're not familiar with it, what you do is you post two pictures side by side. A how it started picture, a picture from long ago, from back when you first started dating somebody or from when they were a little baby. And then next to it, the how it's going picture, the modern day picture, the current picture. You see these posts all the time when somebody's celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. Or sometimes you see the post when somebody's wanting to put up, say, hey, let's look at how much things have changed over the course of time. So here we are this morning. How it started, and now here we are at how it's going. Through newsletters, through emails, and yes, through social media, I have had a chance to see how it's going with a lot of you. And you know what? I've had a chance to celebrate and see all the some of the good things that are going on in your life. And you know what? Being here this morning, as I look around the room, you know what? We've all changed. When I left, you know, back in 2013, I didn't think I could lose any more hair. Guess what? I can. Some of you have changed too. Although, can I just comment for a second? A lot of you still haven't changed where you sit. Just saying. And just like those posts on social media, today's an opportunity for us to remember the times gone by, to tell stories of the past, and yes, to appreciate how things have changed so much. I chose the text for this morning because as I thought about this theme of how it started versus how it's going, I read Paul's words to Timothy and I realized that in these words that we read a moment ago, Paul is sharing with Timothy a first century version of how it started versus how it's going. Think about what Paul says in the text. He starts with how it started. He says, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. I was ignorant and lacking faith. That's how it started for Paul. But then he holds up to Timothy the how it's going. I am strong. I am faithful. I am called to serve. I am an example to others. Talk about some change. Talk about some transformation. And the thing is, as I looked at these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, the thing that I realized is that the story is not in who Paul was, nor is the story in who Paul is. The real story that is being told here is the story of transformation and redemption that Christ had worked in Paul's life between the past and the present. That's the story of how it started and how it's going. Paul tells this story by saying that the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the story. The story's not about Paul. The story is about the work that Christ had done in his life. And not just the work he'd done in his life, but the work he had done through his life. It was Christ who was being glorified. And the thing was, as Paul was telling this story, as he was holding up to Timothy how it started and how it's going, Paul realized, hey, you know what? He ain't done yet. Paul says to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Did you notice that Paul didn't say, I was the foremost? Did you notice he didn't look back and say, well, I used to be a sinner, but now I'm not? No, Paul says to Timothy, I am still a sinner. Christ is still working in my life. Christ is still going. The how it's going is not a period. It is a continuation. That's the story Paul wanted to tell Timothy. The story's not about me, Timothy. The story's about Christ and his power to transform and redeem not just my life, but the life of the world. You know, as I thought about Paul's challenge, as I thought about Paul holding up to Timothy, the how it started and the how it's going, I realized, you know what? I didn't want to just come this morning and tell a lot of stories of things that were in the past. This morning, I really wanted an opportunity to stand before you, hold up the how it started, look at the how it's going, and share with you the story of how Christ has worked in those in-between times. So I want to tell just a few of those stories this morning if I can. On my first day as pastor at First Baptist Elon, I got a call that John and Louise Brammer were in the hospital. This is my first day and I got folks in the hospital. What in the world do I do? But I remembered Wayne Hughes had told me, hey, look, if you ever got to go to the hospital, you call me, I'll go with you. So I called up Wayne. I said, Wayne, John and Louise are in the hospital. He says, I'll be right there. And as he did that entire first year of my pastorate, Wayne went with me to the hospital, and he introduced to me John and Louise Brammer, introduced me to them. He broke down, you know, he got through the nervousness I had of not meeting these two folks, and he helped build connection, helped build relationship the way only Wayne Hughes could. But you know the funny thing? What started in that moment on that day was an understanding of the difference it makes when somebody's in the hospital and when somebody's suffering and they want a word of assurance, a word of peace, that God is with them in that moment. Last week, I get a phone call, somebody in the emergency room. And so as I did 22 years ago, I headed down to the emergency room to go be with that person. I went, I sat with them, and I'm holding their hand. I said, can I have a word of prayer with you? And as they gave me their hand, they put their hand in my hand, and they looked at me, and they said, and I want you to catch what they said. They said, this is weird for me. I have never had a pastor visit me in the hospital. Twenty-two years ago, I learned the difference that made and how God can work in those moments. How it started, how it's going. It's the difference of God's power working in life. When I came as pastor, there was this young man. He was in high school. He was preparing to go to college to learn to be a teacher. You might have heard of him. His name's Travis Russell. Tall kid. My goodness, he was tall. Travis went off to college, kind of had a little interest maybe, and was thinking maybe God was working his life. So we said, hey, you want to come work for us a couple summers as a summer intern? So he worked for us for a couple summers. He and I ended up being part of a mission team to go to Ukraine. Travis went on and decided, you know what, it's not the classroom, it's seminary that's my calling. So Travis goes on to seminary, goes on to enter the ministry. 2020, I accept the call to go to Melrose Baptist Church as senior pastor, go back to my hometown of Roanoke. Who's the first pastor that I run into in the area? Yeah, that's right, Travis Russell. pastor at Vinton Baptist Church, church right across town. That young man that was a youth, that young man who was a mission partner, he is now my regular monthly lunch peer. And we get together every month to pray together, to share together, to encourage one another, and to talk about how we can partner together to share the love of Christ with our community. God started something in the most unexpected way. He built a relationship that I had no idea that 22 years later would become not just one of the most important friendships in my life, but one of the most important partnerships in my life. How it started, how it's going. The story is in the work of Christ. When I came and was just kind of still kind of getting started, getting underway, been here a few years, been getting going, I heard about this youth minister in the area. His name was Garen Hill. He was the youth minister over at First Baptist Burlington. Garen and I, we would, you know, run into each other occasionally, associational meetings, bump into each other around town. We didn't get a chance to really work together all that much, but, and before I knew it, Garen had gotten a call to go somewhere else, and he'd moved on to other areas, and occasionally we'd run into each other at meetings here in the state of North Carolina, but honestly, Garen was one of those folks that, you know, he kind of fell off my radar screen. I didn't really think that much more about him. Last year, I get a phone call. Justin calls. He says, "Dad, I got contacted today by a pastor whose church is looking for a youth minister. And Dad, the pastor says he knows you." I said, "Okay, who is it?" He says, "His name's Garen Hill, and he's the pastor at the First Baptist Church, Forest City. And Dad, he said that the reason why he called me was because when he saw that I had started seminary and that I was looking for a position, he's like, I know that young man's dad, but more importantly, I know the church that young man grew up in, and I know that that's the kind of person we want to have as our youth minister because I know the church that formed and shaped him." Each and every one of you who was a Sunday school teacher, a youth minister, each and every one of you that loved on my children as they were growing up here, you were part of forming those young men. But not only that, you formed a reputation and understanding that goes around this state. And when somebody saw Justin's name, they say, "I know First Baptist Elon, and if he's available, that's the kind of person we want being here," is somebody who was shaped by that church. How it started, how it's going. The story is found in how Christ works in the in-between. One more story, if you'll allow me. Pat Carl was an Elon student. Very quiet. Would come to BSU meetings, and oftentimes he'd go through the entire hour and a half, 2 hours, he'd never say a word. Well, over the years, Pat started to become a regular at our house over in Gibsonville. Phil, you probably remember occasionally seeing Pat out in the backyard throwing ball together or him wrestling with the kids. Eventually, he wasn't just a once-a-week visitor. He was like an everyday member of the house to the point where we started calling him our son. Years after he graduated, Amy and I shared in his wedding. Today, he has two children. We call them our grandchildren. But here's the cool thing. Pat and I meet virtually every few weeks to read and discuss a book together, often around the themes of faith and spirituality. We even, last year, helped another one of our former Elon students, a young woman by the name of Shannon Kramer, edit a book of hers that will be published next year. And we've been asked to review another book by a friend of mine in Roanoke. Now, why do I tell you this story? Pat is somebody who at the right time in my life came to me and said, you know what, Mark, you're staying busy, you're going all the time as a pastor. When's the last time you stopped to read? When's the last time you stopped to nurture your own development, your own growth in wisdom and knowledge? And I realized, you know what, he's right, I'm not. Pat became that voice in my life saying that even now, as a 50-year-old pastor, I still need to learn. I still need to study. I still need to grow. And you know why that happened? That happened because First Baptist Elon years ago said, you know what? We love Elon students. We love the campus that's right across the street. And not only do we as a church want to be a home for these students, we want to empower our pastor to be somebody who can build relationships, spend time with them, open up his home, open up his life. That relationship feeds me now because you, as First Baptist Elon, said, we believe this is where God is calling us to go. How it started, how it's going, the story is found in the transforming and redeeming work of Christ. So this morning, I get the blessing of standing here before you today, not just to say thank you, but I get to stand here today and say thanks be to God. Because I had the blessing of being formed and shaped by this community, but more importantly, by the power of Christ working in and through you. That's the story. And so, as I think about that, as I express those words of gratitude, they lead me to a word of challenge. It's a word of challenge that the Apostle Paul offers in verse 18 of the passage. John, would you put that up for me? Paul writes to Timothy, I am giving you these instructions, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made earlier about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. Here's the challenge I want to give you, First Baptist Elon, as you celebrate 75 years of ministry, as you look back at all the ways God has worked, as you look back at your history, as you look back at the story, as you look back at how it started, what I want to challenge and encourage you is this: embrace that how it's going is how it starts. How it's going is how it starts. Because you see, here's the thing. God has not stopped working. God has not stopped speaking. God has not stopped moving. Where you are right now as First Baptist Elon, where we are as Melrose Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia, can be a starting point for God's next thing. I don't know what that'll be. I don't know what that'll look like. But what I know is this: God is not trying to put a period right now. God is saying, hey, we got more to do. How it's going right now is how I want to start the new thing I'm going to do. You know, I guarantee you that Elon and Alamance County is a lot like Roanoke and Roanoke County. There are a lot of people who are fighting fights, and the fights they're fighting are not good fights. They are fighting against temptation and sin. They are fighting against abuse and neglect. They're fighting against hatred and bigotry. They're fighting against hunger and poverty and homelessness. They are fighting against challenges of language, challenges of culture. They are fighting against loneliness and hopelessness. I guarantee you, right here in Alamance County, just like in Roanoke County, there are people who are fighting fights, and not only are they not good fights, they are fights that they are sure they are losing. And the thing is, as the church in America, we need to be stepping into the fray and saying, let us help you fight the good fight. But unfortunately, too many times as the church in America, we spend a lot of time commiserating that not as many people come to church as they used to. Not as many people give as they used to. In the church in America today, we spend a lot of time looking back at how it started, and we think the solution is, we need to go back to how it started. And all the while, God is looking at us and saying, hey, I'm looking to start something right here, right now. How it's going is how and where it needs to start, and I need you to jump on board with me. And so as I'm preaching this message, it's not just a challenge I'm giving to First Baptist Elon. It's a challenge I'm giving to Melrose Baptist Church. I got news for you. Some of my congregation, they're like, hey, can we watch the service at First Baptist Elon Sunday afternoon when we get home? I said, sure. So you may see your Facebook numbers go up a little bit today. I'm just warning you right now, okay? But I'm preaching this message to Melrose just as surely as I'm preaching it here. And I'm preaching it to myself, too, because I realize I'm just as guilty as anybody. Just like Paul, I am a sinner still in need of redemption. The story of God is not done in my life, and I'm sure it's not done in your life either. But I got news for you. It's not done in our community's life. It's not done in your neighborhood's life. There are fights that are being fought that right now people feel they are losing, that Satan is getting ground, and he's not giving it up. And they need us as brothers and sisters in Christ, filled with the love and grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, to step next to them, to stand with them and say, let me, in the grace of Christ, share with you the transforming power of what God can do, what God will do, and what God wants to do. How it's going is how it starts. And the Lord's inviting us to jump on board with it. I learned a lot being pastor here at First Baptist Elon. I learned a lot about things as a pastor that you can do. I learned a lot about things as a pastor you can't do. You know what one of the things I learned early on that you can't do as a pastor? You can't ask people to change seats on a Sunday morning. Can't do it. Not allowed. I thought about that as I was stepping up in the pulpit this morning, but you know what I realized? I ain't your pastor anymore. See, you know what? I can ask you to do something. And if you don't like it, hey, you know what? I'm out of here this afternoon. So, David, I apologize if I caused trouble for you. But here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask the people on this side of the room, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to slide over here. All right? And there's a reason why I'm going to ask you to do that. You know, so many times we pastors, we wrap up our sermon, we pray the prayer, we extend the invitation, we sing in the hymn of response. And then we walk out the door, we go to lunch, and it's easy to kind of, I mean, even as a pastor, it's easy to forget what you said even just an hour ago, all right? So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give us something, all of us something, to remember the challenge that Paul gave to Timothy and that I believe that Paul is giving to us today. The challenge that how it's going right now is the start that God wants to do something new in your life, within your congregation, and yes, right here within Alamance County. John, would you bring up that last slide for me? I've got this Facebook post already all ready to go. How it started, how it's going, how it starts. You'll see there's a picture there. It's one of the pictures out there in the hallway. Which, by the way, I need to talk to whoever came up with those pictures. The one in the red with the wig, that picture still exists, that one can be burned, okay? I'm just saying right now. That one can be burned right now, you know. I'm not planning on running for public office, but I'm just saying, all right? So I've got this post already ready to go, but here's the thing, it's missing something. You see how it started, how it's going post, there's always two pictures. That picture right there, that's how it started. It's a picture of me with that committee that met with me at Western Sizzlin' all those years ago. There's some faces up there that a lot of you probably recognize. It might be kind of hard to see. John Dawson, Janie Brown, Earlene Mann, David Hall, James Allison, Hazel Lewis, Cecil Crabb. That's that committee that reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like for you to come the weekend of September 7th through 9th, 2001, and preach a trial sermon. That's how it started. Today is how it's going. So I need to add another picture. So those of you on this side of the room, I don't need you to move far, okay? All I need you to do is I need you to move just kind of somewhere over here in this center section, all right? Can I ask y'all to do that? Like I said, if you don't like it, don't worry. I'm not here next Sunday, okay? All right, let's see. All right. There we go. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm just going to say, isn't it kind of nice to have a different perspective on where you are, you know? I'm just saying, those of you on this side of the room, you might want to try it one Sunday, okay? I mean, I'll let you off this week, but you might want to try it sometime. All right, so here we go. So I'm going to... Ready? All right, now, you know, y'all gotta, okay, now come on, y'all, don't look like the typical Sunday morning crowd of, I know, it's 10 after 12, your stomach's grumbling, you know, come on, I'm getting hangry, Mark. All right, okay, put smiles on your faces, okay? Put smiles on your faces. All right, ready? Here we go. On the count of three, one, two, three. In about 10 minutes, you're going to see that post up on Facebook. All right, and it's going to be there, and when you see it later this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow or 3 weeks from now, if your Facebook feed's like mine, but when you see it, remember this, how it started, how it's going, but our hope and our challenge as the church is to embrace that how it's going right now is how the new thing that God wants to start begins. And the opportunity is, he's saying, come on, First Baptist Elon, jump on board. Would you pray with me? And now, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we embrace and give thanks for the ways we have seen you work. We embrace and give thanks for the transformation that you have brought. God, we admit we have all changed over the last 22 years. In some ways, changes that maybe we didn't welcome and we really don't want. But God, changes come. But God, at the same time, there are transformations and redemptions that you have made possible in your grace and in your mercy working in our lives. And so, Lord, for those, we give thanks. We praise you. We give thanks, God, that your story didn't end at a cross, that your story didn't even end at the empty tomb, that your story of grace and redemption continues in our world today. And, Lord, we admit sometimes we have been slow to jump on board. Sometimes we have been so busy looking backwards that we have not asked the question, Lord, who are you calling us to be and what are you calling us to do right now? So, Lord, on this day, as we come together, as we remember the past, as we celebrate the present, Lord, build in us an expectation for the future. Build in us an expectation of what you are about to do and how we are going to be a part of it. For Lord, that's ultimately the story. The story is not in the pictures. The story is not the events. Lord, you are the story. Your desire to change the world and change lives. Your desire for us to be a part of it. Unite us, Lord, in our gifts and our talents, in our abilities and our resources. Unite us for the glory of your kingdom, so that one day, 75 years from now, whether we are here in this building or whether we are with you in glory, we will all come together and we will look back on this day and see that how it was going was how it started. We lift this prayer today in expectation of the answer you will give, in the name of Christ our Savior. And all God's people said, amen.